Let's look at Philippians 4, and we'll start reading verse 5, 6, and 7. We'll read them three verses and try to expound on those three verses today. And I pray that the Lord will have his will in our heart and his way in our heart. And may the work of God prosper. He said in Philippians 4, verse 5, let your moderation, notice that word, be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Praise God. That's some tremendous words there. Paul giving this letter to the Philippian believers and trying his best to inform them. This book of Philippians is a tremendous book if you go back and look at it as we've been looking at it for some time. And it's always, every time I pick it up and look at it, I pick up something else. Now last week we talked about the joy, and he told us to rejoice and rejoice always, and we're to do that. And there's a reason for that, because the Lord's done so much for us, and there's no reason why we should be down and out. No reason that we should have, you know, a pity party in our life, because God has saved us, redeemed us. We're his, he's ours. We're heaven bound. The best is yet to come. And the glory of God rings in our heart. We give God the glory for it. But in verse 5, Paul changes just a little bit. He says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Now, quite a few things here that we point. That word moderation, many people look at it from different viewpoints. And I've read after some others, but I went back and looked at it, this word moderation. It speaks of a couple of things. Of number one, the hospitality that they had, and their standing that they had. Now, a word that comes from that, or this word may come from it, we'll find today is people want to talk about moderation. They're always talking about being a moderate, being in the middle. People seem to brag about that. I don't believe a child of God ought to brag about they're standing, being a moderate. We ought to stand straight. But the hospitality is there. Moderation is what we believe. In a sense, we look at these, let your moderation be known unto all men. And Paul's trying to say, make yourself known. A lot of people don't know, as a child of God, people don't know how you believe. They don't know how you stand. Now, we can't go around cramming something down somebody's throat. Somebody said, this is my viewpoint. And then another comes along and said, this is my viewpoint. Well, it don't make no difference about that. I don't really care about what viewpoint we have if it don't line up with the Word of God. Both can be wrong. And somebody said, this is my opinion. And then the unbeliever, he says, this is my opinion. Both got an opinion, and both of them may be wrong, but it better come from the Word of God. And so we better let the world know today what we stand for. So, a Christian, and you'll have to admit with me this morning this one thing. There's a lot of people you rub shoulders with as Christians down through the years in the church, now haven't you? You've had a lot of good friends, went to the house of God, and as far as you know, and according to what they how they lived and what they told you, you believed with all your heart that they were saved. You had no reason to question their salvation. But there's a lot of things you didn't know what they believed about. And if you're not careful, you'll be believing and thinking things that, and take for granted. And if you ever got yourself in trouble by bringing up something that's scriptural, and then that person that you thought was real strong in the Lord for years, all of a sudden you found out they didn't believe it that way. Even you thought, why didn't they believe it that way? The Bible teaches it. I mean, take for abortion, for instance. There's a lot of people in the church today that believes that abortion's okay up and down the countries. I wouldn't want to think we had any here like that. We may. I couldn't tell you that. But I don't believe you'd think today that I'm for it, would you? Because I've told you. I've let my moderation be known. And so that's what we do and tell people. And so sometimes, have you ever been out in public? Now let me just challenge you with this and think about it. I've been there and I've done this. I don't think it's good for us to do it. That is, somebody says something about, well, I think it's all right to take a social drink or something. Maybe let's just use that subject for an instant. And the next thing you know, somebody else said, well, I don't think it's right. And you never open your mouth because you don't want to get involved in it and cause no confusion. Well, I believe a child of God ought to speak up. Now, you may disagree with me there, but I believe we ought to. I have kept my mouth shut a few times and not said anything when it's brought up. I don't believe it'd be good to just walk in and start preaching that and telling people unless you've got a pulpit and the Bible and a church, amen. But I believe if a subject comes up, you ought to express how and not what you think. Don't tell them what you think. It don't make no difference what I think. But you tell them what God says. Amen. And that's the problem, I think, most of the time. The reason Christians don't do it is because they don't really know what the Bible does teach about a lot of things, especially like social drinking, for instance. And, of course, I don't believe you ought to drink anything. Amen. It's intoxicating. But he said, let your moderation be known unto how many men? All men. That means everywhere you go. Somebody said, but I don't want to make no waves. Did you know Jesus made waves? The disciples made waves. The apostle made waves. The apostle, all of them did. The prophets made waves. The kings made waves. The priests made waves, and they stirred up things. Matter of fact, if you'll study the Word of God, you'll find out people that stirred up things all through the Bible are people that walked for God. And they voiced their opinion. They weren't silent. We're not to be silent witnesses. We are to stand in the gap, make up the hedge, and let people know how we feel. And, I back off of that again. I'm trying to get away from that. It don't matter how I feel. It's my job to tell them what the Bible says. And that's what it's your job to do. Let your moderation be known. And in other words, we need to let them know. And then Paul throws this in, and he gives you a reason why we should speak. Because he says, the Lord is at hand. In other words, he's coming. He don't want you to be ashamed that he's a coming. He wants us to be, don't you know today that when the Lord comes, you want to say, I've told it like I'm supposed to tell it, live like I'm supposed to live, and I've done what I'm supposed to done for the Lord. Now that's how I'd like to leave this world. Unfortunately, all of us are not going to do that. We failed. We missed the mark. We've come short. And I pray that God will help us to be stronger. Now, I can't go back and pull up my mistakes and make them better today and can't change them. But I can make my future better by telling and picking up where I messed up at and going on with it and doing different. Amen. The politicians, you know, they'll change this and change that and they're back on one thing. There's politicians believe in abortion, now don't believe in abortion, believe in abortion, now don't believe in abortion. And that's wishy-washy. A lot of Christians or church people like that. But let our moderation be known to all men that we need to let them know because the Lord is at hand. He's soon to come. The trumpet could sound today. I wish it would, don't you? It'd be exciting. Praise God. Amen. Come down to the house of God and take me out of here. Take you out of here. All go out together. Wouldn't that be grown wonderful? Praise God. All right. Now look at verse 6. And we won't say a whole lot more about verse 5. Just go back and study it a little bit. Verse 6 says, be careful for nothing. Now that word careful, we know what the word careful is. Just be careful, be at the place to be cautious and so forth. But in this word careful here, the way it's presented in this scripture, and you go back and look at it, you'll find this word here is careful. Don't worry. You don't worry about things. Did you know worry is a sin? Amen. I used to tell my mother-in-law, she said, I'm worried about this and I'm worried about that. I said, Bertha Lou, you worry about things, amen, that's never, probably never going to happen. She worried all her life about catching and contracting cancer. I worry about dying with cancer, she'd say. Never did touch her. She died with something else. But I'm telling you today, I said, you know what? If you didn't have nothing to worry about, you'd worry about having nothing to worry about. And that's the truth. She would. They just, some people like that. You catch yourself like that sometimes, don't you? Now, everybody in here worries. Don't tell me you don't. Oh, you do. Anytime you're taking your eyes off the Lord, you'll worry about things. I never seen like it. The people's worried about this virus coming across and so forth, and people having, and it's something to be concerned about. But, you know, and I believe we'll take the precautions, but I'll be careful today. I'm not going to be at the place where I'm going to let it change my life unless it gets next door to me or something, gets deeper than where it is right now. But I'm looking at this. He said, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. We shouldn't worry about anything. The Lord takes care of it all. You know what? That something happened. This, I don't even remember what this was, but I needed to find something. It was a piece of paper I needed to find. And in my real sweet way of filing things, and in my, you know, how I put everything where it belongs, I couldn't find it. Now, you just have to know me, that ain't so. Because I had a pile of papers there, and it was in that pile of papers, and I knowed it was. And I didn't have time to spend all day, and I said, Lord, help me. Help me. And guess what? I just kind of started to pick it up and look, and right there it was. I had stuck it up there where I could find it. Amen. I'd done already, took care of it. I'd filed it away to where I could find it. And I said, Lord, and he just right quickly gave me where it was and showed me. And so I just went on and started doing my work. And after a while, the Holy Spirit says, you know, you didn't even thank the Lord. You didn't even give no thanks for finding that. And the Holy Spirit reminded me that we ought to give thanks. You're going to find it here today in the scripture. The least little things. If you lose your car keys, how many times you ever lost your car keys? Lord, help me with this. I remember I lost a key to the vehicle I was driving, or one of the pickups, the pickup that I had at that time, and I lost it. I didn't have no way of driving it. Maybe it was the gas cap. That's what it was, in my little old truck. And I was going to get gas. Well, you can't get gas. And so I took it to the what is the key fella? He said, I'm sorry, but he said, you're going to have to go to the manufacturer to find this. He said, I ain't so sure they can do that. But he said, I can pop it open for you, but it's going to swing from now on. And I said, well, I don't want to do that yet. I ain't out of gas yet. And I knew I had it in my pocket, and I hadn't been many places. So I went back home, and on the way home, I said, Lord, help me find where that key is. Help me find where that key is. And help me see where it's at. And I just hadn't got the truck, hadn't had it long, and I pulled in the driveway, pulled up, and went out the shed where I was going to park it, and pulled in. I seen something glisten on the gravel. And when I got in the truck and pulled my keys out of my pocket, sometime before that, I had dropped that key. And I was, there it was. And I said, Lord, thank you. How many times have you seen things like that happen? Amen. You ladies have the same thing. And the Lord, show me where it's at. And the Lord does it. Amen. I'm used to, for years, I used to set the old clock and get up every morning. And the old clock would go off, and I'd want to knock it in the head every time it did. You remember them years, don't you? Well, now, for the past 10 years, I hadn't worried about a clock. Unless I got somewhere particular to be at a different time, I just don't worry about it. I try to get up at 6 o'clock every morning. Well, 6 o'clock. And I say, Lord, I need to get up at 6. And if you can get me up, I sure do appreciate it. It's amazing how God will wake you up. I did that. I knew this morning, I didn't set no clock, and I knew good and well, if I went to sleep, I'm just liable to sleep the daytime. I'm way up in the morning. And that would be awful, wouldn't it, for everybody to come to the house and try to find out where the preacher is, him in the bed. But guess what? I said, Lord, I want to get up about 6. And at 5:58, God opened my eyes, and there I was. And I said, all right. It might not, you said 5:58, I thought you told him 6. Well, it might have been 6 at his place, amen. My clock may have been off. They are off sometimes. So anyhow, we just trust him. Thank God for it. And God does that. Now that's what he tells us. Don't worry about anything. You know, if we had a life of lack of worry. Now back yonder we had years ago, there's something they suffer off today, suffer with today that we didn't have much of when we was younger. And if we did, we didn't know about it. And it's called stress. Y'all heard of stress? About every time you go to the doctor, he's got stress problems or something. They'll say, we'll give you, I don't know nothing about it, Brother Jim Yonner, when I was a boy, about going to get a stress test. Now they give you stress test. Amen, they'll kill you, but anyhow, that's right, but stress test. And they'll talk about stress. Several years ago, I was working at the mill over here, and I had a pretty important job, and it was a very responsible job. And they give us 2 weeks for Christmas that year, and we was off. And it's all for 2 years in a row, them 2 weeks I was off, I was sick. And I thought, what in the world? That's a bad time. Boy, if any time you're going to get sick is when you're off. That's tough. Here I was. And I was so tired and give out and weak. And I thought I was having a heart attack. My chest was a-hurting and I was having problems. Did I say 10 years? Probably longer than that. I said a long time back. It's probably been 20 years. Because 10 years ago, I know it wasn't then. But anyhow, I'd go to the doctor. They sent me down to Gainesville. They'd done all these tests. And he said, you've got stress. I said, but doctor, I'm dying. I come back home. He'd give me a little medicine. I come back home. Got better and went back to work when the work picked back up again or when the 2 weeks is over. Got it again and finally went down. And I remember a member of the birds is up on a telephone pole on the line down toward where Walmart is now. And them birds is all lined up on there. And I told my wife, she was taking me. I couldn't drive. She was driving. She said, I said to her, them birds, I'll never see them again. Probably I'm about dead. It's been 20 years ago. Doctor called it stress. Couldn't find out it was. It's stress. I don't know what I was letting bother me, but it was. There's some things about it. But we have stress. We get stressed out. And that's wrong. When we have stress, what happens is we're not trusting God for everything. Now, what did Paul say here? Be careful for nothing. Nothing. Don't let nothing bother you. Don't worry about anything. Then he goes on to say, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. In other words, take it to the Lord. You got a problem? Take it to him. He knows how to handle it, don't he? Amen. He's handled every one of my problems. Sometimes he ain't handled them like I wanted him to, but he always handled them. Amen. It didn't give me what I wanted sometimes when I prayed and didn't do it the way I thought he ought to do it, but he done it right. He done it better than I would have done it or anybody else would have done it. So we thank God for that. We do give God the glory, the praise, and the honor. So he says here, be careful for nothing, but in how many things? Everything. Not just one. That's why I said a while ago, somebody would laugh at me when I said trying to find the key. And calling on God and asking God to find the key for you. I've had people laugh at things like that. Well, you can laugh at me if you want to. Praise God, when he's in charge of my life, I want him to be in charge. Amen. And that's what we want. He's able to do it. Thank God he is. He knows, I didn't have to wonder about if the Lord knowed where that key was. He knowed where it was. Amen. God knows how to get it to you. And he knows how to get you to it. And we give God the praise. So he said here, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Three things that I want to point out. Number one, prayer. We ought to pray. It's important for us to pray. It's imperative that we pray. It's demanded that we pray. Just for a moment, let's slip over into Matthew chapter 6. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, and I want to look at verse 6. Matthew 6, 6. And the Lord gives us something here. In Matthew 6, 6, he says, in verse number 6, chapter number 6 of Matthew, he said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." Now, I remember as a young preacher, starting off, and I was taught to pray. In early days of my ministry, I was taught to pray. I knew to pray. I saw the church people pray. My parents taught me to pray. What part they got into the church, I was a pretty good sized boy, but when they got into the house of God, they taught me to pray. And I was taught by the pastor to pray. I was taught by the church and Sunday school teachers to pray. And the Holy Spirit taught me that I need to pray. The Word of God taught me that I need to pray. So I prayed, but I didn't know how to pray a whole lot. And I read this scripture, Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet." Well, I took the Word of God literal, and a lot of things I do take literal, and I didn't spiritualize it. And we had bought a new house and moved into it and had a little closet over there. And there's a coat closet. And I told my wife, I said, "I'm going to have me a closet, prayer closet. I'm going in that prayer closet." And so I made me a little altar and put it in there. Fixed it up pretty nice. But nobody didn't tell me it didn't have no air conditioner vent. And I'd go in and pray, and I'd get to praying, and got in fervent prayer. You know how the old-fashioned people used to pray? They get down and pray. You don't get nobody to pray like that now. Everybody's bashful. But we prayed, and I'd get in there, and I'd pray, and next thing you know, I'd be sweating the daylights out of myself. Amen. And I'd come out there, and I said, it didn't take me long to find out that wasn't going to work. So I give that up, and she got to put her coats and in there, and I went in, found me a little spot in the backside of the house there where the washer and dryer was, and there's a little space just so-so. And I'd get down between that washer and dryer, and that's where I'd pray, and I'd seek the face of God, right there. And God's answered a lot of prayers from that little old place. And I seen God do his work. So I thought that what we'd do is shut the door. But I want you to look at verse number 6 of Matthew 6. I want you to look at these little words, these little pronouns in there. Not nouns, but pronouns. It said, and I'm not an English major or an English scholar. I murder the King's English. Verse 6 says, "But thou." You see that word thou? Do you know who that is? Huh? Is that the president? Is that the governor? But thou, it means you. He said, "But thou." Notice that. When thou. There's a second time it's used. Prayest. Now notice that personal pronouns is mentioned twice. Enter into thy closet. There that pronoun is again. Thy closet. And when thou, that's four times, has shut thy door, five times, pray to thy Father, six times, which is in secret, and thy Father, seven times, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly, eight times. And God used that little pronoun to tell you, and who is he speaking to? He's talking to you and me. God's saying when we get ready to understand something and know something, want something, and desire something, we ought to come to him. So when Paul's saying here in Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 6, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Don't let anything bother you. Don't get disturbed and distraught and stressed out. So many of us as God's people get so stressed out. I do. I've been in this business for many, many years. God has kept me in the ministry all these years. And I too, like you, let stress and worries bother me every once in a while. Not as often as I used to. I've learned to give a lot of that over to God. But there's just some times that your physical being won't let you do it. Now my flesh won't even turn anything over to God. It's the inner man, the spiritual man. And sometimes I starve the spiritual man to death and don't give him the right proper attention. And I let the fleshly man take over. And then I begin to worry and fret. Boy, so he says here, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Prayer is the key. Every child of God is to pray. Pray and continue to pray. We're commanded throughout the entire Word of God to pray that we might let the Lord have His way in our life and heart. Prayer is the open line that we have. Amen. You get sick, you go to the doctor. You expect him to give you help. And you have a trouble with your automobile, you go to the mechanic to get some help. You have a legal thing, you go to the lawyer. You expect them to help you. But the spiritual thing that we're looking at today, when we need some help spiritually, and most of the time we don't really think that we do. Amen. I believe we go to the physical doctor sometimes when if we go to the heavenly doctor, we wouldn't have to spend our time going to the physical doctor. Now, don't get me wrong. I go to the doctor. After I got old, I found out they get you every 3-4 months anyhow. Amen. They want to keep up with you. And sometimes I think I'm doing pretty good, and they go and they tell me I'm doing pretty bad. Not too long ago, I went feeling like I wasn't doing too good, and the doctor said, I'm going to give you an A+. And I thought, you just don't know how I really feel. I really don't know sometimes. You know, they're practicing medicine. And he is going by the test and what the blood shows. And that's going to tell the test. That's like the Word of God to you and me. So what happens? He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Now, if we do it by prayer, what's that supplication? That's something added to prayer. What is it? That word supplication just seems, it just simply means earnest or serious business. Now, if you're not in serious in prayer, then you're going to the Lord anyhow. Ain't no need to go to the Lord just to call on Him to take up space and take up the Lord's time. Of course, He's not worried about time. He's in eternity. He's not no clock watcher like you and me. But I'll tell you this. If you're not serious when you go to the Lord, and that's what that word supplication is. That means serious praying. Not just saying, now lay me down to sleep, or bless this food, Lord, touch it in your name. And that's serious. Lord, I've got a need. And when we get the place, sometimes we have a need that we can't, I don't even know how to pray sometimes when I go before the Lord with a need. I feel my heart's turned upside down. My world is apart. Things are tipsy-turvy. I can't get it together. Can't get it all where I need it. But all I can do then is just say, oh, God. And when I say that, God knows what I mean. I'm glad He can read between the lines, can't you? I mean, ain't you? I'm glad He can do that. God knows my heart, and He knows my mind before I even think. And God knows my soul, and I'd say sometimes, oh, God. God said He can be touched, Christ can't, through the feelings of our infirmities. And praise God, He knows what I need. And that's supplication. Prayer is just words sometimes. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have prayer, that we do. I pray all the time. We ought to have the attitude of prayer. Constantly. I mean, every day. We ought to pray all the time. Somebody said, well, I ain't got time to stay on my knees praying. I ain't got time. I couldn't get nothing done. Well, I pray while I'm driving. I pray while I'm working. I pray while I'm sitting. Amen. The only time I don't pray is when I'm asleep, but then once in a while I wake up and I pray a little more. With me? Amen. But prayer with supplication means that I've got to the place now that it's more than just serious prayer. It's really deep and it's emotional in my heart and it's really extra. We got a little extra added touch. And Lord, we want to put a little bit more with this. You said, well, what do you mean? I mean, this is earnest. Lord, this is not just a little visit. This is not just a little time of touching heaven and coming in contact and saying good morning to you. This is a need in my life that has turned my world upside down. Now, Lord, I know that what I'm facing, you've done faced. I know that it can't be worse than what somebody else has already faced, and you've come through them or with them through it. Now, Lord, this is serious to me, and I pray that you'll help me. So we do that with prayer and supplication, and then with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. This is a little something sometimes we don't pay enough attention to. He said prayer and supplications with what? Thanksgiving. Now, if you're going to pray and ask God for something with thanksgiving, what are you doing? You're already believing that he's going to do what he says he's going to do and what you're asking him to do. And you're thanking God for it. Sometimes I say I've been thanking God, and I'm thanking God for what he's going to do. Thank God for what he's done, what he's doing, and what he's going to do in my heart and life. And I give him thanks for that. Isn't that a wonderful thing that we can pray and give thanks? You said, well, I ain't so sure he's going to do anything. Well, what are you praying for? Who are you praying to? You have nowhere else to go. Who else can meet the need of your life? Nobody but God. Amen. In the person of Jesus Christ, you pray. And God, or through the Holy Spirit, you direct your prayers. And the Holy Spirit takes it to Jesus. Jesus takes it to the Father. The Father returns with the answer in the proper manner. And I give God the glory for it. So we pray and supplicate, or be serious-minded about with thanksgiving. He said, let your requests be known. See, you're asking. Request what you're asking. Let your request be known unto God. You just tell God what you want. You say, well, I wish God would move in my heart and life. Well, just ask him to. I wish God would meet my need in that. A few times I've got down and I say, Lord, you need to do this and you need to do that. Have you ever done that? Have you ever prayed like that? Lord, you need to straighten this out, and you need to straighten that out, and Lord, you need to do this, and you need to do that, and you've had that on your mind, what you think the Lord ought to do, and you already had the answer figured out before you ever called on him. You ever done that? I've done it. And then you're just standing back watching God, and you're saying he's going to do one, and next thing you know, he does something else. And when he does it, it works out better than what you thought it was going to work out, and you look down and say, Lord, I didn't think of that. And you wasn't really expecting that either, were you? But I've got news for you today. That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to claim and ask our requests and claim what we need before we get those needs met. But trust him for those needs. He's going to meet us with those needs. Then in verse number 7, we don't have much time left for our lesson, but in verse 7 he said, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, he'll calm your fears, settle your nerves, eliminate your stress. I believe if God's people would trust God more than what they trust him, they wouldn't have as much stress problems. I found out that to be so in my life. He's the only one that can calm my fears. He's the only one that can settle my nerves. He's the only one that can meet my needs. And sometimes I mean, just about daily I have to say, Lord, forgive me for not trusting you like I ought to trust you. And for putting a little doubt here and a little doubt there, and trying to run my life like I want it run. See, most of us want our life like we want it. And he wants to do it like he wants it. And it'd be better if we'll just yield to him. So he said, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding. Now let me point this out, and I don't have time to get into this much. But there's the peace of God, and there's the peace with God. And if you don't have the peace with God, you'll not have the peace of God. A lot of people are trying to get peace from heaven and peace from the Lord to settle and calm their fears when they've never made peace with the Lord in their salvation. Their soul is still lost. Now, lost people can pray all they want to, But God hears the cries of his saints, and the prayer that he hears from the lost is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God wants to give the peace with him first, and then he'll give us the peace of God. Now, we don't have time to get into that. Time's caught us, but I want us to look at the Lord in prayer right now and ask the Lord to direct us. Father, give us wisdom and understanding. Help us to be where we need to be. Touch the remainder of the service. May your will be done. We'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.